Asia reacts to the incredible changes in the Soviet Union. Good morning. I'm Eric Olander. Japanese officials are expressing their concern over Mikhail Gorbachev's ouster. Japan's Prime Minister Toshiki Kaifu is ordering his foreign ministry to gather all information available regarding the uncertain Soviet future. Japan will react to the emergency in the Soviet Union by coordinating its response with its foreign allies, particularly the United States. A Chinese Communist workers' delegation has left for Moscow despite upheaval in the Soviet Union. The decision seems to suggest Beijing's intentions to project an image of business as usual with Moscow. Chinese government and Communist Party officials issued no immediate comment on the news that Gorbachev had been replaced by a hardline ruling committee. The removal of Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev has put new pressure on the Philippine Senate to accept an agreement to extend the U.S. military presence in the Philippines. 16 senators had expressed their opposition to extend the agreement, but that was before Gorbachev's removal from power. Senator John Osmena, who supports the agreement, says the Soviet Union crisis could lead to a new Cold War and may change the minds of his colleagues who are opposed to the treaty. The current agreement expires September 16th. President Corazon Aquino's government insists that if no new pact is ratified by the time the current agreement expires, the Americans must leave. The former Secretary General of the PKB, or Philippine Communist Party, Dr. Jesus Lava, says Gorbachev's removal from power is not likely to result in a civil war in the Soviet Union. He spoke with Metro's Carlton Baum.
I do not really know the strength of the social forces.
Oppression and business in China. I'm Eric Olander. It's no secret that multinational corporations prefer a stable political and economic climate for their foreign investments. For hundreds of years, Western governments have sponsored military coups, covert interventions, and even direct support of oppressive regimes, all in the name of making a buck. The list of examples is very long. One perfect one is the CIA's operations in Central America, which have been rationalized as protecting democracy. But it appears as if the only people they're protecting are companies such as Coca-Cola and Dole Fruits, who have considerable investments in the region. Recently, Western governments haven't directly intervened in China's, quote, internal affairs for the sake of maintaining economic and political stability. That's because, in part, Beijing is doing it for them. Professor Stanley Rosen of the University of Southern California explains.
The main image at this point being portrayed is that China is stable. It's a source of a stable government where if you invest, you will make a decent profit, unlike some of the other countries where you might invest, which may have coups and so on. China, above all else, needed to do Tiananmen to maintain stability, and that is good for business. If the students, let's say, had their demands met, or if the government had fallen, China would not be a good place to do business because it would be unstable. Therefore, you should support us because, in fact, we're making China safe for American business.
China's flagrant abuse of human rights is justified by the geriatric leadership in unquestionably some of the most creative ways, and they're getting some professional help as well. Beijing has called upon the services of PR giant Hill & Knowlton to help them clean up their image and attract those oh-so-valuable foreign investors. Deng Xiaoping and his crew are very well aware that the Western attention span is about as long as a 30-second TV spot and will take full advantage of that to make Beijing stable for foreign investors. Just ask Wang Juntao and Chen Zeming. Crew of a floating book exhibit in the South. For hundreds of years, the West, especially Britain and the United States, have considered the China market to be their corporate gold mine. Western entrepreneurs have dreamed of making their fortunes by marketing their products to over a billion waiting and willing customers. But as marketing professor Wesley Johnson of the University of Southern California says, the China market is more the China myth for Western business.
Western companies, particularly American companies, have always seen the answer to a lot of their sales volume problems lying in China. But for a number of reasons, the true volume or the true market potential is not a billion people. Let me explain that a little bit further. For instance, in China, there's only about 200 million people that really have any level of discretionary income that could be buyers of American-type products. The other 800 million people in China live in the less advanced economic areas. They live further in country, and they really don't have the discretionary income to buy American-type products. They're oftentimes nomads or farmers with very little income.
Dr. Johnson says a great deal of dedication and patience is required to successfully penetrate this enormous potential market. of which Americans just don't have enough of.
The Japanese have done a far better job than American companies in showing this kind of commitment to the China market. You see in many, many hotels in China, a Japanese sales or trade office set up, and the Japanese manager's assignment to the China market are often 2 years or longer, where most first approaches by U.S. companies are, we fly there for 2 weeks or 4 weeks and see what sales opportunities there are. So U.S. companies have to show a greater commitment to the China market.
I'm Eric Olander on the Metro News Radio Network. In many societies around the world, stereotypes of the mentally retarded characterize them as being freaks, weirdos, and in some cases even evil. Rarely do these inaccurate caricatures permit the mentally handicapped to have feelings and emotions. The International Special Olympics is one event which attempts to shatter these confining stereotypes. The games are held every 4 years to provide an opportunity for those with mental retardation to enjoy themselves in a variety of sports. This year's 8th International Special Olympics in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is the largest sporting event in the world, with thousands of coaches, athletes, and volunteers all taking part. Christine Bredel is one of this year's Olympic organizers. Bredel describes the level of participation and says that even corporate America is getting into the spirit.
I believe they're from over 105 different countries and or provinces, and they're, people-wise, they're talking about, I believe, 6,000 athletes, some 35 to 40,000 volunteers. You know, the volunteerism is really a big issue.
And you've seen a big turnout in terms of the number of volunteers?
Yes, a tremendous turnout. There, some of the volunteers are sponsored by their companies. Corporations have given a group of individuals, you know, like a paid vacation day, essentially, or they just get paid to come here and volunteer instead of going to work.
Abigail Wirtz is one of those volunteers. Wirtz says the spirit of the games is not one of competition, but of participation.
Between each team, they have these pins of their country, of their state. And before each match, they exchange them on the court. And I think that adds a nice element to the non-competitiveness of the game.
I'm Eric Olander on the Metro News Radio Network. Naturally, the issue of the Chinese takeover of Hong Kong in 1997 is on virtually everyone's mind. Will China keep its part of the deal to maintain an essentially free and capitalistic marketplace? Or will the iron hand that swept Tiananmen Square in June of 89 make its presence felt here as well in just 6 years? Most analysts agree that PLA tanks and troops won't be seen rolling down Nathan Road anytime soon. The former director of the U.S. Foreign Commercial Service, Ying Price, says it's not a question of what will happen in 6 years, but what is happening now.
1997 perhaps is going to be a most disappointing non-historical event, because the change is not going to happen on July 1st, 1997. The changes are happening right now in front of us, under our nose.
Already, several Western corporations have decided to leave Hong Kong and not risk a potentially unstable marketplace under the control of Beijing. Price says that is simply a mistake.
So if Pac Rim is on your strategic planning, you will have to be in this place. And then somehow you cannot ignore this gigantic market called China. And if you don't wipe China out of your map and your strategic planning, then you must address Hong Kong. Even with the worst scenario, it is still the best Chinese city to do China business. So I don't think 1997 is going to be a truly significant factor to deter companies to invest in Hong Kong or in China.
I'm Eric Olander on the Metro News Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Coming up to 12 minutes past 5, you're listening to Metro News Radio 1044. And continuing with Metro's extended coverage of events in the Soviet Union, we now take a look at what might be in store for Germany with Gorbachev out. Metro's Eric Olander spoke with Andy Kushin, Executive Director of the University of California, Stanford University Advanced Center for Soviet Studies. Kushin described some of the fears Bonn may have.
The Germans are fearing that there'll be some sort of revanche, you know, backlash or movement away from the revolutions that were allowed to take place in Eastern Europe.
Is that possible?
Last couple of years. Yeah, it's possible. The Soviet troops are still in Germany. I think that he realized this was coming down soon.
One of our reporters interviewed someone, and they said, well, at least this change and something might happen. With Gorbachev, nothing was happening.
Yeah. I think that there certainly is widespread dissatisfaction with the Gorbachev leadership.
Why India's Foreign Office prefers to remain silent on one of the most important political developments to take place in the Soviet Union in recent years. Edmund Roy, Metro News, New Delhi.
That's a look at Asian news this half hour. I'm Eric Olander. Stay tuned for more news and information coming up right after this.
Thank you, Eric. With the time approaching 3 minutes before 6 o'clock, it's time for sports with Scott Seckel.
Your 24-hour news and information source, Metro News. AM 1044.